The secret is out. You asked for it. Now WVON is everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. All you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app to your tablet or smartphone and take us where you go 24/7.
Django, Django, have you always been alone? Django, Django, have you never loved again? Love will live on, life must go on, for you cannot spend your life regretting.
Django,
Django,
Django. I love this. I love this. It is 7:36 on the Talk in Chicago. For those of you who are just wiping the sleep out of your eyes, you're not late. Matt McGill has the day off, and I am filling in for him. And I was telling you that we've got a great guest on with us. I am so excited. Dr. Jonathan David Farley. He is an amazing gentleman, and he's fearless. He is absolutely fearless. He recently wrote an article that has people going out of their minds, and it is called, What Would Django Do? Arms and the Man. And the reason why he wrote this this article, or he can tell the reason, but I get it's in response to, it looks to bring minorities to the side in the debate over gun control. There is a gentleman, his name is Larry Ward. He is president of Political Media, a company that designs websites and organizes ad campaigns for the right of center organizations. And they participated in Gun Appreciation Day. And the funniest thing about it was that at these different events across the country, at least three people shot themselves or somebody. Joining me on the live line once again is Dr. Jonathan David Farley. He has been a visiting professor at Caltech. He's a science fellow at Stanford University Center for International Security Cooperation, a visiting scholar in the Department of Mathematics at Harvard University, and a visiting associate professor of applied mathematics at the MIT. He's so off the chain. I love this. Seed Magazine named Dr. Farley one of the 15 people who have shaped the global conversation about science in 2005. Dr. Farley, it is indeed my pleasure to welcome you to the Matt McGill Show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, my goodness. You know how to stir up some feathers, don't you?
Well, I thought that it's important for African Americans to remember that historically, the gun has been the African Americans' greatest friend. It helped us secure our life, liberty, and our ability to pursue happiness. And that's what we saw in the movie Django Unchained so memorably.
Do you think that there has been a conscious effort by Democrats and Republicans, just the country in general, to keep urban communities disarmed?
Actually, there has been, and that's part of the What Would Django Do campaign. The 1967 Mulford Act in the state of California was actually called the Panther Bill because the whole point of it was to make sure that the Black Panthers couldn't carry around arms to stop racists.
Oh, okay. So, I'm not going to say this. I vaguely remember as a child hearing something about that and it being the topic of discussion at my grandparents' dinner table. And you said even the great Ida B. Wells, who liked yourself, and I want you to tell that story why you had to flee Tennessee at some point, made comments about arms in the home. What did she say?
Yeah, she said that a Winchester rifle should have a place of honor in every Black home. And actually, Ida B. Wells got chased out of Tennessee for being a campaigning journalist, campaigning against lynch law in the South. And she actually fled Tennessee after she was writing about the murder of some Black businessmen.
So why were you run out of Tennessee on a rail?
In my case, I wrote an article 10 years ago about a statue honoring the founder of the Ku Klux Klan, Nathan Bedford Forrest, which was put up in Nashville, Tennessee, with taxpayer money, not 100 years ago or not 50 years ago, but at the time, rather recently. So I wrote an article saying that the Confederate slave owners should have gotten the same treatment that they got in the movie Django Unchained, and that was enough to cause the right-wing or the racist, I should say, pro-Klan elements in Tennessee to go crazy. And also, the silence of good men, that the quote talks about, enabled people to go crazy, and I just packed up and left. In fact, a lot of my belongings I left behind.
You know, I hear on WVON so much from people that feel a lot like you, but for the vast majority of our listeners are absolutely in support of gun control. And as you know, the Supreme Court lifted the handban gun. They found that unconstitutional in the Supreme Court, and yet still, I don't have a pistol. I think I should be able to carry one. I think that the bad guys are always going to be able to possess and buy firearms. I should have that right, too, as a law-abiding citizen. And is that kind of where you are on this topic?
Actually, the program What Would Django Do would help reduce gun violence, in my view, because part of it would involve gun training. You could have kids trained in schools on gun safety, on marksmanship, which would be lots of fun for kids. And a second aspect.
Wait a minute, did you say marksmanship would be lots of fun for kids?
Marksmanship, yes.
Okay. All right.
And, it's like archery, only with guns. And
that's
veterans
funny.
From Iraq or Afghanistan or even Vietnam could come in and train kids in the community on the proper use of arms, give them some self-defense training, and that would enable lots of kids who might not have fathers around to have a platoon leader or like a surrogate father who teaches them life lessons and also specific skills. And also, a third aspect of the What Would Django Do campaign is to bring ROTC back into schools, into high schools, funded by the military.
Yeah, well, you know, Chicago is pretty good with its military academies. I mean, academically as well, with ROTC, they do pretty well here. Not a lot of complaints about it. But you are saying, now you're kind of going after, like, the NAACP because, they say the 8,000, lives that are lost every year are a direct result of guns in our community. But you make a reference, and this is something that I wasn't never heard of. What did you say about Bill Cosby and his pound cake speech?
Well, it's a great speech. If people haven't heard it, they can go to the internet and listen to it or read the transcript. Where Bill Cosby talks about the crime that plagues the black community, especially the black-on-black crime. I read a statistic that said that something like 94% of murders of black people are due to other black people. And Bill Cosby appropriately said that while we should campaign against the prison industrial complex, a lot of the blacks in jail aren't there because they're political prisoners. They're not, people like Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Right.
They're in prison because they stole a TV set. And why were they stealing the TV set? And part of my campaign actually is to try to give, is to not fix the symptom, which is the actual gun death, but to try to get to the underlying disease, which is why do, say, it's mostly teenage boys, I would imagine, why are they behaving in this fashion? In fact, on your website, you have a video showing some teenagers beating each other up, actually some boys beating up a girl,
mm-hmm.
shockingly.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't any context, but how do we, what's causing that? And so I want kids to actually get training from, say, elderly or elders, Vietnam vets, Iraq vets, Afghanistan vets, who could actually serve as surrogate fathers to, say, a whole platoon, a whole troop of kids, maybe 100 kids. They could do some arms training. They could get some cheap uniforms, black T-shirts and black jeans, maybe march in community parades so that the community sees that these kids aren't predators. These are kids who are part of the community, and the kids can see that the community appreciates what they're doing. And so instead of joining gangs as a surrogate family, they join these platoons that we'd create as part of the What Would Django Do campaign.
773-591-1690. Do you disagree with Dr. Farley? Should we let our children learn how to properly use firearms? Do you support the Senate just announced what their gun ban is. Do you have any objection whatsoever to assault weapons? Would you agree that assault weapons or disagree that assault weapons are a big part of the problem in this country right now?
Well, my program focuses on the fact that historically there isn't any need for African Americans to side with liberal proponents of gun control. Historically, as the great Ida B. Wells said, the Winchester rifle should have a place of honor in every black home. And people like Robert F. Williams, certainly Malcolm X, and the Black Panthers would agree that historically, the right to keep and bear arms has been what enabled African Americans to preserve their life, liberty, and their ability to pursue happiness. So our program actually will try to cut off violence before the bullets get fired by giving training to kids, which would improve their self-esteem in schools, and they'd have fun in school also learning marksmanship, by promoting ROTC programs, which actually are cut in lots of places and are being protested against by lots of liberal groups and others, like in California. So that is what the program will focus on.
And the ROTC is not so much to be a military, but it gives a strain of discipline.
Yes, it's discipline. But also, if kids want to go into the military for a career and follow in the footsteps of General Colin Powell, then by all means, they should do so.
All right, then. The phones are lighting up. I've got Brian on the west side. Brian, thank you so much for your call. What do you think of Dr. Farley's campaign? Brian, go right ahead, Brian.
I think he's exactly right. I think that he's making a great point. I think this is why laws were put into place to keep weapons out of our hand and continue the suppression of our community. I think that, by teaching our youth, how to properly use a firearm, I mean, we'll have less of these innocent bystander shootings. Guys need to respect the gun just like they respect the cow or respect, any weapon. And I think that, the guy online now is making a great point. If we teach the youth to respect what they're doing and they feel respected in the community, then we're going to see a different outcome in the community.
You know, the South, traditionally, guns were a part of a lot of the people's lives that moved African-Americans who moved to the North. And I do understand that, and Dr. Fowley, they had a tremendous respect for firearms. I mean, many of the people that called WVON, they said, I grew up using firearms. You know, I got my first, my first rifle when I was 10, et cetera, et cetera. At what point, what would you say in what decade or whatever, when did that lack of respect for guns come about? And did it become not so part, a big part of our community because we had become so urbanized?
Well, you'll notice that the explosion in crime and violence occurred in the early 1970s. I mean, there was also the crack epidemic a decade later. And I like to think that it's not a coincidence that that coincided with the demise, the destruction, really, of the Black Panther Party.
All right, then. We're going to take our look at traffic and weather with the lovely Pam Tice. And when we come back, we'll conclude our conversation with Dr. Jonathan Farley. Stay with us. Alrighty, it is 7:52. Now, this is if you guys want to read this article and find out a little bit more about Professor Farley, go just Google what would Django do? Arms and the Man. All right, so look that up. It's a very compelling argument, and it is a compelling campaign. I'm very interested in finding out, Dr. Farley, what kind of response have you gotten from the NAACP or the black community at large about what you're proposing?
I haven't heard anything from the NAACP.
Okay. So what are some of the gun rights advocates saying to you, the far right?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily call them all part of the far right. For example, Bobby Rush, Congressman Bobby Rush, would support one of the proposals of the What Would Jenga Do campaign, namely to get the National Rifle Association to condemn the Mulford Act of 1967, the so-called Panther Bill, or Anti-Panther Bill, as it should be called.
Oh, that's interesting, seeing that he's a former Panther.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's interesting. So how are you getting the word out about this campaign, other than coming on the wonderful WVOM, which is celebrating its 50th anniversary? But what else are you doing? Have you been asked to be on any of these talk shows or anything? Can we look forward to seeing you somewhere on Sunday?
Well, the campaign is just getting started. Larry Ward, who convened Gun Appreciation Day, the reason why this started is because I saw him talking about how guns could have rewritten the chapter, the shameful chapter in American history on slavery. And so that's why I wrote the essay and decided to help create this campaign.
Do you feel at all a little uneasy, you know, pairing up or joining up with people that are looked upon with such a jaundiced eye from the center and from the left? Is this what you do? I mean, you just ruffle up people's feathers? I mean, even though I think that you make a very compelling argument for this, but do you feel a little nervous about, you know, attaching yourself with some of these other names and these other organizations?
Actually, the great thing is when I heard Larry Ward, the convener of Gun Appreciation Day, on CNN, he was making a point that was to the left of the people he was speaking with. He was talking about how, actually, he wishes more blacks had access to guns in the shameful period of slavery, which is what we saw in the movie Django Unchained, and that's why people liked the movie so much, because it was something they didn't normally see. So what I want is to refocus people's attention on the time when it wasn't just on the cinema screen, when it was in real life, the shameful Mulford Act of 1967, which was designed to disarm the black community, especially the Black Panther Party, and also the positive proposals that the Black Panther Party made, which, for example, their Breakfast for Children program that they had in Chicago,
sure.
And where they fed something like 10,000 children every week totally for free, their schools where students learned real history and also mathematics, I would hope. And our program will involve kids feeling a part of the community as veterans who might, you know, be unemployed, maybe from Iraq or Afghanistan or even Vietnam, are actually training the kids as surrogate fathers, as platoon leaders, teaching them the proper use of arms, of self-defense, and making them feel a part of the community as they participate in holiday parades, say, in their uniforms with black T-shirts and black jeans.
All right, then. Dr. Jonathan David Farley, thank you so much for joining us today. Where can we find you this day? Are you teaching right now?
I do research in mathematics all the time, even in my sleep.
How does a person with such a background in math and science end up doing something like this? I was very curious about that.
Actually, even back in 1997, I at UC Berkeley, I commemorated the Black Panther Party's protest of the Mulford Act in 1967. And so I had people like Johnny Spain, who was a field marshal for the Black Panther Party, Tarika Lewis, who was the first woman in the party. I actually had one of Angela Davis's graduate students speak. I've been interested in promoting this issue for well over 15 years, maybe 20 years.
All right, then. Well, thank you so much. Keep up the good work, and I hope that this campaign, to hear more about this campaign and more debate about it. Have a great day and a great weekend.
Thank you.